We're back.
We are back.
Do you want to sing the song? Doesn't sound like it.
When are you going to sing the song?
I don't know. I need to practice. This is the Comixology podcast. We talk about the books that we read this week. Today, it's Wednesday. It actually is Wednesday. We're not scamming people when we record this. Not that we would ever do that.
We don't scam them. We just are visiting them from the past.
From, yeah, sure.
And or the future.
I'm Slim. You're Lou. We have a special guest with us today.
We do.
From our marketing section of the office, Camille. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, you're from Alabama, obviously, judging from that accent.
A strange dark corner of Alabama, but they still speak like the first settlers.
Right, that's exactly. Right. So where are you from, Camille?
I'm from France.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that about
Amazing.
You.
Amazing.
So what do you do for Comixology? So people that are listening maybe have an idea of how you maybe impact their daily Comixology stuff.
So if you find the website, hopefully it's because of my work, because I'm in charge of the acquisition. So bringing new people to the Comixology universe, helping people download the app, promote the app. So that's what I'm doing.
That's like literally the most important job in all of comics.
That's right.
Is finding new people to read comics.
Exactly.
So hopefully that doesn't weigh too heavily on your shoulders.
With great power comes great responsibility and all of that.
So, you know, Angoulême is coming up, the biggest, coolest comics, kind of just graphic novels, bande dessinée event. We were there last year. I was there. I was lucky enough to travel. So maybe as the weeks go on, we can talk more about that stuff. I think that'd be really cool to do.
You need some new France stories.
I mean, I loved France. I talked to, who were we talking with when we were talking about France?
Calvin Reed.
Calvin. Me and Calvin.
That's right.
We had that great time in France. Should we go through the new release list?
Why
to
not?
See what came out this week?
Things came out today.
The Unstoppable Wasp, number one.
We'll talk about that.
From Marvel.
We'll talk about that.
Gem and the Holograms, new Batman issue, Saga. You ever read Saga?
I would trade weight Saga.
Trade weight, I do as well.
Yeah.
I have about 40 issues to read from Saga.
Okay, so that's literally all of Saga.
I read the new one. I read the new one that came out today.
You're up to date?
Yes, totally.
Holy moly. All right, big shot. New Adventure Time. New Archer and Armstrong, Adam Rebirth, The Adam.
Oh, that's right. I saw that.
DC Comics, Cougar and Cub, number one. It looks adorable. Han Solo Collection, New Princeless, Giant Days, Rise of the Black Flame from Dark Horse Comics, New Cyborg. A lot of stuff came out this week.
One or two things.
Who should we start with? Should we start with Camille?
Put Camille on the spot.
The Camille. Cammy, when you grew up, what did people call you when you were younger? They call you Cammy?
Camille.
Camille?
Yeah, impossible to pronounce.
Oh my
here,
gosh. So I think I hurt my tongue.
You need to work
that.
On your French accent before you go.
Camille.
Oh, dear
exactly.
God.
Camille.
Mon Dieu.
Mon Dieu.
Oh.
Bande dessinée.
Bande dessinée.
That one you
I've
have.
I've said that one
yeah,
a few
yeah.
times. I have.
You just need to learn how to order chicken wings.
I'm going to work on it, but Cammy, what did you read?
Matt.
What do you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about two graphic novels that they are Franco-Belgian novels. Mm-hmm. We call everything that is Franco-Belgian, both French and Belgian, because the writers, the artists might be entirely Belgian, 100%, but often it's the French public reading the graphic novels. And there are two graphic novels that are available on Comixology.com that are really good. They are good staples in France. Everybody knows them. I feel the American public knows them less. So that's why I wanted to showcase them. The first one is 13. And when I pitched this novel to Tia, actually, she was just like, oh, it's Jason Bourne. And it sounds like it. You have these old couples. They find a man who has lost his memory, has a bullet in his head, a tattoo with the number 13.
Slice of life tale.
In Roman letters. And they found this guy who has completely lost his memory and was trying to find out where he is. And of course, there's a lot of action. Some killers show up at his house. He finds this mysterious girl that he might know. He's accused to have killed the president.
Whoa.
There are a lot of twists. It's Jason Bourne, but on steroids, I would say. Mm-hmm. The plot is amazing. the writer of this graphic novel, of this whole series. So you have to read the first 12 graphic novels to understand the whole world, I would say. But you have actions and things happening in every one of them. And the writer is Van Ham, and he's super, super famous in France and in Belgium. He's one of the, yeah, the most famous writer. I don't know what would be the equivalent for American comics.
Stephen King. J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling. No, for novels, but for comics.
Oh, for comics? Boy. I don't know. Mark Miller is like famous outside of comics, too. Maybe, yeah. Maybe Scott Snyder.
Alan Moore.
Alan Moore. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, so Van Ham is Alan Moore, French Alan Moore.
Interesting.
And then he wrote also Largo Winch. And another great graphic novel we have on Comixology website. He has done a lot of fantastic work. Mm. So
the 13, actually, I have a weird knowledge of that outside of Comixology, but that was a video game.
PlayStation
or PlayStation 2 on Xbox. But that's how I first heard about it. And it was what they called a cel-shaded video game, where it looked kind of like an animated world. And I remember playing that game and really liking it, but I don't think I knew then that it was based on a graphic novel or a bande dessinée.
Yes, they did a video game, and they did also a TV show in Canada.
If you wanted to sound very continental, how would you say 13 in French?
13.
I'm not even going to attempt. I might strangle myself with my own tongue.
And you have to write it. Okay, so on a website, and the way it's written, you have to write it like an X and three. I don't know how.
Three eyes.
Yeah, three eyes. Yeah, exactly.
Roman numerals. So you have to be very, very worldly in order to even find this book.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Lou?
Well, I read a couple of Marvel books, one of which is The Unworthy Thor, number 3.
And his worthy abs.
Oh, indeed. I mean, I love Jason Aaron writing Thor. Yeah. You know, it just doesn't really get any better than that. So, Original sin, things happened. Thor is now Odinson because he has been rendered unworthy, and he's like investigating this situation. And where we left him off, he was like hunting down this lead, and he went to like where Asgard used to be to look for this special hammer. So basically, it's literally like the Oprah's favorite things of Thor hammers up in here. Like, you get a hammer, and you get a hammer, and everyone has a hammer. Like, literally, the three of us right now have hammers under our chairs.
That sounds like Fear Itself. Did everyone get hammers in that book, too?
Everyone has a hammer. So Thor is looking for this hammer. He runs into Beta Ray Bill, who's also a Thor and has a hammer. And they both get kidnapped by the Collector. And so the reason why this book is so special to me this week is because in the Collector's collection, we also find Thorri Death Ripper, Best of All Dogs.
No.
I know. And he's so sad because he's literally like, yeah, you know, it sucks. I used to hang out with your sister and her wife and their kid, Leah of Hell in Brooklyn. It was wonderful. And now I'm here. And also, I want to eat your face, and I want to murder your brother, and I'm really good at murdering things, and I'm going to eat your entrails. Oh, I love Thorri Death Ripper so much.
Wow. Sounds deadly.
You know, he's a
sounds very
he's the best, yes. best of all dogs. He's the best of all murdering dogs. He actually kind of reminds me more of a cat. Like, you remember that Onion article, kitten thinks of nothing but murder all day? Like, that's Thorri Death Ripper. You just want to kiss him, but also he will eat your face.
Hmm.
And then, like, Thanos and some other baddies who were not invited show up. And things happen, and very exciting characters who I love, who I'm really glad they're back in some books.
Have you ever read the Thanos miniseries that came out a few years ago from Jason Aaron, where it talked about his youth and how he was in love with the girl, the younger girl his age? Did you ever read that one?
That sounds adorable.
It was amazing. It's really good. So you get the backstory of kind of why Thanos is the way he is. And
because of love.
It's all because of love. So that's why I loved it. That's why I gravitated towards it.
Is your book about love this week?
In a roundabout way. I read, well, actually, there's one that's really about something else. I didn't read it entirely, but I paged through the new Batman comic book that came out today.
Oh, me too.
Boy, howdy. It gets a little naughty in that book.
Sex.
Sex. I don't know. Hopefully people know what we're referencing. We just blurt out sex. Otherwise, that just sounds really strange.
Camille looks very confused.
She does. Yeah, she's like, why are
now
you
I'm
just...
going to rush into the book, and I'm just like going to look at all the pages, trying to find the scene, and I will find nothing.
I think we originally started blurting out that word to get people's attention.
It's
and
the
it worked.
Title of a book.
It was the title of a book, and it was the title of the episode a couple weeks
that's
ago.
That's right, yes.
So Batman, the Batman issue that's out this week has Catwoman, and it gets saucy in that book. Let me tell you something right now. If you're into some saucy comics, you need to read that book.
Meow.
Yes, very much so. But the book that I read that I tried to read last week was I read all of the Black Widow issues that had come out for that series.
Do you like it? Because I started and I went, I didn't go through.
Really? I'm a big fan of Mark Waid and Chris Somney from their many other works together. More recently, Daredevil. They did like a huge run of Daredevil together. And I don't really ever... Actually, there was one Black Widow series that I read that was David Acuna on art. It was like something Black Rose or...
Oh, yeah.
Something petal yeah. rose, something flower related, which was amazing. But this one...
Did Marjorie Liu write that?
Yeah, I think she did.
Yeah.
This one starts out with Black Widow escaping S.H.I.E.L.D. She's stolen something and she's gone AWOL. And you don't know why. So the first issue is amazing. It's like the greatest chase scene ever. It should be the movie that Black Widow will, I don't know if she'll ever get. But this one, you find out why she's on the run. You find out why she would betray her friends in S.H.I.E.L.D. And she decides to make a deal with the people that are making her do this to get access. Like, they have something on her that she doesn't want ever to get out. Like, if whatever secret files they have get public, it'll destroy friendships and relationships she has. So she does their bidding kind of like on the sly. She knows how to get them back. She's like, I'm just working with them just to try to figure this out in the meantime. And I think there's about 9 issues out so far. Yeah. And so I read the whole thing on like one train ride. I blew through it. You get to figure out why the people are blackmailing Black Widow. And it's actually like, I feel bad for the people that are blackmailing Black Widow because of what she has done to put them in this position. And I felt conflicted. I was like, well, yeah, I get why they're doing this. So it's just a great combination of the creative team on the book. They do such great work. I really loved it. I can't wait to keep up now. Although now I have to read it monthly, so that's kind of hard. Read like 9 issues in a row. So we'll see. But you loved it, right? You're up to date. You talked about the Bucky issue last week.
I mean, I'll talk about this a little bit too with my next book. But you know, I really love woman characters that are that are hard to root for. You know, I really like that about Black Widow.
I liked how last issue when you talked about Bucky shows up and she needs to like rescue him. Sort of, but she's like pissed.
Yeah.
She's like, why are you here?
Why are you helping me?
Yeah, like, I don't need your help.
I felt like that was a nice sort of callback to in the Phil Noto Nathan Edmondson run, where there's also a part where he helps her, but she's a little more grateful in that scene. But it's adorable because like he's like, I'm gonna cover you so you can like run away, and then there's like a guy in a plane shooting at her, and Bucky jumps on the plane and he's like, you shot at Natasha, that's the last thing you are ever gonna do. And it's just like, he cares about her so much. But then there's like a serious plot twist at the end of this current Black Widow number 9 that really makes you think like, what is the status of that?
Yeah, it's great. I can't wait to read more. What about you, Cammy?
Now you get me convinced again, because I started the first issue. I just actually, I really love the story. I was less into the art.
Really? Just get out, please. Thanks for coming on the show for the first and last time. Do you have any other books that you wanted to spotlight today on the show?
Yeah, I mean, a classic as well, Black Sad. Have you read it?
Yes, I have, actually.
Yeah. I mean, we do the guided view for those, so we get to look at them really closely.
So what are your thoughts? I mean, Fernando Boss?
The art
loves it.
Was like otherworldly in that book. I had one critique, actually, which is kind of like a weird critique to make. Reading it's a great book. There was bits and pieces of it that made me wonder what the translation process is like on those books. Because as a person that's read English language comics for 30 some odd years, it was like, oh, that's a weird way to say that. I wonder if this is a direct translation or
right.
like how, what kind of conversations go into like, should we use this phrasing or should we not use that phrasing? It's a beautiful book. I highly recommend it to everybody to read, but those, for whatever reason, that book just made me more inquisitive about how that process works.
Did you read the first title, the second one?
The first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would advise actually everyone to start by the second one.
Oh, really?
Arctic Nation. I feel the story is much stronger. You still get the beautiful art.
Mm-hmm.
The watercolor everywhere. It's beautiful. But the story is much better than the first one. Actually, that was my critics with the first one.
Mm.
I found the plot was not that interesting. Okay, his ex-girlfriend is dead. But you can't really care about it. You're just like, okay, she's dead. Whatever. Move on.
Slice of life tale.
Good luck to the killer. And whereas the second one is much more complex and you get a lot of themes into it. He's clearly playing with some stories. I mean, some part of history in the U.S. with segregation.
Mm.
You have like the white animals versus
oh, interesting.
The brown animals. I mean, and it's much better. I would advise anyone to start by the second one and forget the first one. And anyway, you don't need to read the first one to appreciate
the
second
one. Wow, I can't wait. Yeah, I'll definitely keep up. And the first one is, it's hard to explain to some people how like what their preconceived notions of are like non-American comics. But like the stuff in that book is just so beautiful. I can't imagine how long it took to create it. And it's a different format too, so they take probably maybe a longer time. But man, it's beautiful. Unbelievable.
I did read The Unstoppable Wasp.
Look out.
Which is...
I want to hear your opinion.
The series premiere. Okay, so Nadia is the Unstoppable Wasp. She's Hank Pym's daughter with his first wife, who was kidnapped when she was pregnant.
Look out.
And she died. R.I.P. So Nadia...
A lot of dead women in this episode.
I know. Nadia was taken to the Red Room. Actually, and since she was super smart, they put her in the science division, and she was like basically tasked with studying all the super science to try and recreate some of these projects, like the Pym particles and things mm-hmm. like that, which she did. So she's the super smart teenager, basically. And so in this book, she's getting her U.S. citizenship and hanging out with Ms. Marvel, which is great. They run into Mockingbird dealing with a situation who happens to be Nadia's science hero. And so, okay, Nadia is like relentlessly cheerful in this book, which is not really my
fave. That's not your bag.
That's not my fave.
Yeah, I mean, you're the opposite.
I am literally the opposite of that. And so, you know, and there's like a whole like kind of... cohort of these books at Marvel that are like kind of more upbeat, cheery, brighter.
Marvel, Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, and
I would give this to my kids.
Sure. You know, I don't necessarily love that genre like to read, but I'm so grateful for what it's contributing to comics, and I'm so grateful that the audience who really responds to those books like have those. I'm glad that that's being recognized. And so and something in Unstoppable Wasp in particular that I think is like actually really prescient and really, you know, I'm glad that Marvel is sort of like dealing with this is so, Nadia, when she runs into Mockingbird and she's like fangirling, Mockingbird's like, wow, no one ever like recognizes that about me. I'm always like Hawkeye's ex-wife or whatever, like, you know, really touch. It's a touching moment for her. And they start talking about the Shield's smartest people list, which ironically we were literally just arguing about in the office. And Bobby says, you know, like there usually are not a lot of women on this list. Like the first woman came in at number like 27 and there were, you know, just like, this is ridiculous. Like clearly there are smarter women in this universe, but they just are for structural reasons, like not being identified, not being recognized. And so Nadia is really inspired by this conversation and she wants to deal with this on a structural level and, you know, not just be added to the smartest person list because she's really smart, but she like wants to actually, you know, do something about the way that people are evaluated and identified and added to this list. So in that respect, I see this book going somewhere really, really good, even though I kind of just want to like mute Nadia for pain.
Like, if you met Nadia in real life,
oh my
you'd
God.
Be arch enemies, probably.
Oh my God, like, please stop hugging me. Please just stop.
You'd be like tugging at your ear to get out of the situation. It'd be amazing.
I totally would. I however, like I said, I think that you know, it's a good thing that this book exists.
Yeah, I think what you mentioned is difficult for many wrap their heads around. Like, even though maybe it doesn't connect with you, doesn't mean that it's not important for other people.
You know, I think that I chalk that up to a real problem in comics journalism. I mean, you know, I don't want to like throw down any gauntlets here, but I really feel like, you know, the purpose of comics journalism is not taste making. It's not to tell someone what to like and what not to like. It's to contextualize and interpret what is in the comics, like to put them in a sort of culturally relevant place for people to give people a sort of way to think critically about them, and then they can read it for themselves and decide if they like it. But in terms of what it is or where it fits, there's not enough comics journalism, I think, that's doing that.
For those listening, get working. I know you're listening. Last thing I'll talk about before we ask Camille for her all-time favorite comic book. Yeah, get ready. I saw that Optimus Prime number 2 came out.
Yeah.
So I went back to read number 1, I think, which you talked about last week, or maybe that was offline.
No, yeah, I think we did talk about it.
And the one thing I really liked about the first issue was the flashback scenes. I don't know if I think this was on purpose, but the backgrounds of the flashback scenes were the packaging backgrounds of the original Transformer toys.
Nostalgia.
So that was like one of the just a really cool nerdy retro throwback to make. So it was a really cool first issue. Kami.
pressure.
What's at the top of the list for you?
Top of the list
currently or all time?
All time, I would say Torgal.
Really?
So you spell it Thorgal. For the one listening to us, I don't know how you would say it in English.
I think you just made Thorgal. That up.
Thorgal.
Thorgal.
Yeah, exactly. Thorgal.
At least you did it, not me that time.
I want people to be able to find the title. It's on comixology.com as well. Good.
I'm glad, though, that they're hearing it spoken beautifully in the correct way.
Us losers.
Actually, it's supposed to be a Norwegian name, so I'm not even sure I pronounce it well.
Okay.
It's a fantasy comic. It mixes fantasy and mythology.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a story of Torgal, who is found as a baby by Vikings in the north. We don't know where does it come from. Actually, it's a recurring theme of the books I like. It's 13. Now people are going to think, oh my God, you need to have issues to work at Comixology. Yes.
Just in comics, period.
Yes. So this little boy is found, he grows up, and we follow him in his adventures and to discover where does he come from. And it takes place in this strange place that is a mix between the Viking history and also totally parallel, you will say parallel realms.
Parallel universe, exactly.
That do not exist. You have goddess, you have heroes, adventures. It's beautiful. Wow. It's nice. It's saucy sometimes, so you might like it, Matt.
I do love some sauciness in my comics every so often.
And it's really nice. There are more than 20 books, so like it, that's a good thing. You have a lot in front of you.
that's another thing I think people don't appreciate enough too. Like, you can find one like a book that you've never read before, and there's already 20 like trades just waiting for you to dig in. Like, imagine like discovering Saga like 10 years from now. And like all those trades are just like waiting to be read.
So good.
The one book that I just downloaded I haven't read yet was the movie that just came out from the director of, was it Leon the Professional? The French book where like the two kids go into space.
Valerian?
Yeah, that's it. I didn't know we had the English language version available on Comixology until I looked on our website. So I downloaded that, so I'm anxious to read it, because the movie looks pretty cool.
Yeah, Valerian and Laureline.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are intrigued by all of this talk of bande dessinée, when is Angoulême?
Angoulême is the last weekend of January. Maybe Comixology is going. I don't think we've talked about it yet, but it's a good chance. We went last year. It was really fun. So so hopefully if we do go, maybe we will. Maybe we'll bring some of that stuff to our audience and kind of share what that scene is like and why it's cool and maybe why I should try some new stuff.
You know, you should try some new stuff. You should try the charcuterie.
French food.
Did we go to a French restaurant in San Diego or is that New York?
No, San Diego.
Yeah, you like demanded that we go to a French restaurant because you had enough of just our normal regular personhood.
And you're like, take any more chicken wings.
You're like, I need real food and interactions with real human beings.
No more chicken wings. Please give me the chicken liver mushed up into a mousse.
Yeah, I did not eat that. I had the different toast. Cheeses. That was a fun trip. So hopefully, maybe if we go to Angoulême, maybe we'll have just Angoulême. Like that. That was a little too American. Sorry. But Camille, thank you for taking the time out to chat.
Thank you for inviting me.
Hopefully people have more books to check out. Thanks to your recommendations. I know I do.
Absolutely.
And Lou, maybe I'll see you next week.
Something like that. Maybe you'll see me on Facebook. I don't know.
Bye.
Bye.